if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, where we finished off, where we ended last week, actually. Mark chapter 5. We're going to jump right there. Colby, I appreciate you working on that yesterday. We are putting a new unit in the lower end of the fellowship hall. That old oil burner was done, wasn't it? I mean, that thing was just done. So we pulled that old oil burner out, and we're putting in a new heat pump, and Colby's doing the work on that for us. And that should be in soon. So this summer when we meet in there, my concern was that we were cooling that whole place with the one unit on the upper end. And that would have been hard on that. But we've got this other unit now. That'll be in soon so we can cool it a lot quicker, a lot more efficiently. And also it'll help in the summer when we're in that fellowship hall. Sister, I want to say something. You have a twin in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. There's a lady up there that was our neighbor. Her name was Jane Adama. And brother, your dear wife, you could be her twin, sister. So my wife mentioned that to me. She said, "Do you know who that dear lady looks like?" And as soon as she said Jane's name, I was like, "Oh my goodness, yes. You have a twin. We all got a twin somewhere. We do. Y'all got a twin somewhere. Your twin's in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan." Mark chapter 5, verse 17 is where we ended. Let's pray that my throat will make it through this morning and tonight. I don't know if it's the hay or what? Or you gave me your disease. I hang around him way too much. No, actually, that's not true. Appreciate all my boys wishing me happy Father's Day this morning, including my son-in-law. Just pray for him that he'll get saved. It's a burden of my heart. Both my son-in-laws. And if you would, pray for my son's former, what do you call it? It's not an ex. There's no ex with us Christian, is there? Just like there's no ex-Marines. They don't exist. You're a former Marine, but you ain't an ex. And it's the same way with that. Jessica's going to Shepherd Pratt on Tuesday. So if you would, just pray for her as well. She needs help. She needs the Lord. It is Father's Day. And I'm thankful that we do have a day where we can honor fathers. The Bible tells young people, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is a commandment that is connected to a what? A promise. It's a sobering promise as well. Because it sounds to me like that if you don't heed that commandment, your days could be cut short. Doesn't it sound that way to you? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days shall be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it sounds like there's a promise there, but there's also a warning there. Even though it's unsaid, I believe the warning is there. Also notice, and I'm not going to get into the details of that or I'll never get into the message. Also notice that it says honor. Notice as well that it says
honor thy father and thy mother, and this is a commandment with promise that comes after the childhood years. Children, what is the verse for them? Obey. That's right, Sister Long. See, we ain't talking about children here when we get to this commandment. We're talking about young people who have raised beyond the childhood years. So the promise isn't for these young people that are still in their parents' home, particularly our young people that are, say, under the age of 18. Because that commandment is, children, obey your parents. All right? But the command in the Ten Commandments is, honor thy father and thy mother. The reason for that is this. There are parents that should not be obeyed. Let me rephrase that. There are fathers and mothers that should not be obeyed. In what regard? Well, in that they would command you or request of you not to honor God in certain things in your life, or to discourage you from worshiping God, or to discourage you from living for God, or to discourage you from honoring and glorifying God. And are there mothers and fathers out there that are like that? Yes, just walk through Walmart. Need I say more? When I hear a young woman curse worse than what me and Frank heard in the military, there's something wrong with our society. Is there not?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to get off on that, or I'll be there forever. Because I want to talk about these two fathers that I have here. But as I think of Father's Day right now, and I think of my dad, I miss my dad. 2 months after I had my heart attack in August 2011, November of 2011, my father started into his last day at 9:30 in the morning. He'd had heart disease for a long time. They wanted to do bypass surgery on him year before. And he said, I'm not doing it. And they said, you got about a year. Boy, they nailed that one. And he said, I'm just not doing it. I'm tired and I'm not doing it. And a year later, at 9:30 in the morning, my mother called me. I was in Saskatchewan. And she said, Skipper, he's having a heart attack. And I asked him if he wanted to go in the ambulance. And he said, no. He said, I am not dying in a hospital. I'm dying in my bed. And at 9:30 that night, he rolled over and said, I'm going to sleep now. And he went to be with the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a dad that not only did I obey, I also honor. I honor him today because I wouldn't be a Christian today. I wouldn't be saved. I don't know where I'd be. Probably prison if it wasn't for my father. And what I love about my father was this, something he taught me. He taught me what the word honoring your father and mother really means. Because my father wasn't raised in a home like I was. My father was raised in a home with an abusive, evil, alcoholic man. My namesake, Stanley C. Wilson, Sr.
I'm the third.
Yet, do you know how I found out about my grandfather? Do you think my dad told me?
No.
You know who told me? My mother. Anything I know about my grandfather came from my mother's lips. You know why? My dad couldn't talk about his father. And the best way that he could honor him was not to talk about him. And he did that to his dying day. And I'm thankful for what my father did and what he taught me and what he showed me. But I'm glad I can honor my dad.
And I'm glad that I still have my mother and I can honor her. I saw her the other day.
Two fathers, the title is a riddle.
I like riddles. Put your thinking caps on. No more vegging. Don't worry about the roast.
I know everybody's got Father's Day stuff going on today. We got all day, don't we? Two fathers, you ready for the riddle? That went home with nothing, but did they? Riddle's not over. One went home with everything. One went home with nothing. One went home with nothing. And one went home with everything. And it all applies to two men. Who were they? Well, that's a mind bender. I'm good at figuring out mind benders. It's a mind bender. Two fathers who went home with nothing. But it doesn't end there. One who went home with everything. The other who went home with nothing. And then you switch it. The first father is found in Mark chapter 5. How do I know he's a father? Because the Bible doesn't say. Because I looked up the Greek word for the word home and house, which is found in verse 19 of Mark 5 and verse 39 of Luke 8. And I went to the Greek. And in the Greek, home and house means this. Family. Family. Jesus didn't send him home to an empty building. Did he? There's nothing about empty buildings that has any profit whatsoever in this life. Nothing about an empty building. And even a building with furniture in it is empty, unless there's people in it. A house is not a home without people. There's houses sitting all over this county that are empty right now. I drive by a few of them when I'm going out to James's place. There's nobody in them. There's no family there. There's no life there. Here in Mark chapter 5, we have a man who ran down to the beach, fell on his face, and worshiped Jesus. Then the legion of demons in him took over. And Jesus had compassion on that man and threw that legion out, who ran into the swine, which sealed their doom in the empty places and the wandering in the desert that Matthew teaches us happens to demons who have no habitation. Their day will come when they enter the abyss, but they still had to wander after those swine were choked in the sea, in a desert place, seeking rest and finding none. Yet what happens to the man? That's the question. What happens to the man? How many demons did Jesus throw out during his ministry? How many times have we read up to this point that as he healed the multitude, many, many people with unclean spirits came to him, and he cast those unclean spirits, what? Out. Yet, how many of them did what this man does? Think about that. How many of them sought to follow Jesus? I'll tell you how many. Zero. As far as I can find, except for
who? Mary Magdalene. She's the only one I can find. Am I wrong? Somebody think of one, another one, maybe, coming to the top of your mind? I'm grabbing at straws right now. I should have looked it up, but I didn't. But this man is different. Because not only is this man healed physically, mentally, emotionally, he's also healed spiritually. There were two men that came out of the tombs, not one. One ran in one direction and one ran in the other. And I believe it was the man, not the legion, that made the decision to run to the beach. Because the legion would not go near who? The one who is eventually going to sentence them to the abyss for all eternity. Are they going to him? That's common sense. They're not going to him. They're wanting to go in the other direction. But just for a brief moment, that man had control. And he ran down to the beach and fell on his face. And Jesus had compassion on him. Mark chapter 5. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he gets in the ship to leave. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be what? With him. Do you see anybody else anywhere in the Gospels doing that other than Mary Magdalene? No, you don't. Wow, that makes two. Two people who the unclean spirits were cast out of that stayed with Christ, that followed Christ, that had a desire to follow Christ. Why? Because after they were healed, they had a spiritual decision to make, didn't they? When Jesus heals people, he does not save them. The healing is physical, the saving is spiritual, and the choice is the individual's. I believe in the sovereign grace of God, but I believe at the end of the day, I can't explain what got me up out of that pew and walked me down that aisle, but I had to walk down that aisle. Spurgeon said they meet up there in the sky somewhere, and we don't know where grace and the human will meet. And he's right. I can't understand that day. I just know what happened. Notice here, he said that he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now, look over, you don't have to turn there. Let me just read you the companion passage in Luke chapter 8. The companion passage in Luke chapter 8 says this. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship. Notice, you don't see it right now, but I'm telling you this. It said he went up into the ship and then returned back again. Why did he get in the boat and get back out again? Because this guy met him at the boat. He got back out for this man. One man. Eye on the multitude. Focus on the few. If you can't see that in the Gospels, you're blind as a bat. And actually, bats aren't blind. They just fly around at night. Now when the man out of whom the devils... And as he got out of the ship, it says, now when the man, verse 38, I'm still reading in Luke, you stay right there in Mark. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him. You know what that means? Begged him. Everybody else that got healed by the demons took off. I'm healed. Not this guy. He went straight to the one who healed him and begged him. I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. Besought him that he might be with him. Why? This guy's saved now. This guy isn't just healed of the evil spirit. He's saved now. He besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away. Now over where you are, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him. Prayed, besought, same thing, begged him. Please, let me stay with you. That he might be with him. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. That means he didn't allow him to get in the boat. You know why he jumped out of the boat? You know what some Christians need to do? Get off the beach and get in a boat. You know why he had to jump out of the boat? He had to stop him. Jesus had to stop him from getting in. You know what I can see Jesus doing? I can see him grabbing him by his shoulders. Because he's climbing up in the boat. Jesus jumps out of the boat, grabs him by the shoulders, turns him around and says, look at me. I can see it with my mind's eye. Look at me. That's what he did. And the guy's looking at him because he wants to go with him. He's already said that. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go. What's the next word? Go home. I looked up the Greek in Strong's. Go home to your family. Because that's what it means. The home there designates a building, but in the context with the entire definition in the Greek, it means, is Jesus going to send somebody to an empty building? No. Because Jesus is about people, not buildings. He said that. See this temple? It won't even be here in a few years. It ain't about buildings, and it ain't about this either. This church is about this that's sitting out here right now. It's not about a building. It's about a people. And he says, go home to thy friends. That extends it out a little bit further than the immediate family, doesn't it? Not only does he say, no, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go home to your family, and I want you to go home to your friends, because he's got neighbors that live right next to him. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath compassion on thee. I want that. I want that. I desperately want my hatred for this societal generation to end. And you say, you? Yeah, me. I'm a boomer. And I don't mix with this bunch that's out there now. But at the same time, I have to. Because Christ lives within me. I want what Jesus gave to him. I want to be able to do this. It said he had compassion.
upon thee. Verse 20. And here's what the man did. Now let's remember the man.
Let me walk around and drink this, or I ain't going to make it.
Let's remember the man. This is a man who lives in the tombs naked. Remember?
The Bible said that he was often in fetters and in chains, and he broke the fetters and he broke the chains, and he went out and he lived in the tombs, and that he was naked. He had what? As far as earthly possessions were concerned. Nothing. You starting to get where the title is with the riddle? And he went home with, not yet, quit jumping ahead. Think about the riddle and its completion. All right? Two men that went home with nothing. But did they? One went home with everything. The other went home with nothing. One went home with nothing. And the other went home with everything. You'll understand when we get to daddy number two. But daddy number one goes home with what? Physically speaking, what? Did he scrape some rags together to put on to go back to the city? Yeah, he did. But he went home with nothing. But did he? Okay? But did he?
First daddy. Second daddy. Matthew chapter 19. Put your Bible marker right there in Mark 5, maybe. Grab your other marker if you got a Schofield like me, and do Matthew chapter 19.
Daddy number two.
Two men who went home with nothing. It's a tough riddle. I could have made it easier, but I couldn't. This is daddy number two. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And you say, well, this isn't a daddy. Oh, yes, it is. Okay? And I'll explain to you why. I don't know why people think this is a teenager. Because you can't be a ruler in the Jewish society as a teenager. Are you getting me? You don't become of age in that regard until you're at least 30/40 for the Old Testament. He is a young man in span wise, but he is not Tyler. Okay? I'll tell you who he is. He is Mike. He is Jason. He is Andrew. He is Matt. You want to know his age? Right there it is. Okay? That's where he's at in life. That is who the rich young ruler is. Mike, Jason, Andrew, and Matt. You there? Culturally, that's where he has to be. He is in the prime of his life. He has already accumulated everything he could. He is sitting pretty, ain't he? You look at these young entrepreneurs today here in America, these multi-millionaire young entrepreneurs who started some tech company and it just blows up overnight and they're billionaire. Zuckerberg is a perfect example of it. Musk, some of these others, and it just poof, blows up overnight. There he is. There he is. He's right here.
And he's got everything. And we'll see that in a second.
And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Boy, there's an interesting statement, isn't there? Are we in the age of grace yet? With this command being to this man? Have we switched dispensations yet? Has the church started yet, Baptist preachers? How could it? Keep the commandments. Come on. Don't they read their Bibles? I'll get on a rant on that one. Let's stay off of that. He saith unto him, "Which?" Well, that's easy. What did Moses tell him?
All.
All. That's what Moses told him. If you keep them all, God will do this. If you don't keep them all, God will do this. And he saith unto him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these are all what you do with your fellow man." And he's good to go. He's good to go. Because he says, and the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." See, youth is Tyler. He's already done that. He's not youth. He's there, 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 and there. You see where we are? Quit thinking this is a teenager. I've heard it preached that way, and it's garbage. It's not true. He's not a teenager. He's their age. He's at their position in life. And he says, "What do I lack?" Boy, if there isn't the most prideful statement on the face of the earth, it's that one right there, isn't it? Basically, he's saying, "Man, I'm perfect. I got it all going on. I got it all going on. I'm good. I've kept these. I'm right with God." Jesus saith unto him,
"No, you're not. No, you're not. Because look at what he says, if thou wilt be perfect." In other words, he's saying, "You ain't perfect, man. You ain't perfect. And here's where.
If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor." What did this young man struggle with?
Material things. One who had everything, one who had nothing. The man on the beach had nothing. The father on the beach had nothing, who was going home to his family. This father has what? Everything. Everything. And Jesus tells him,
if you want to be saved, you've got to be like the guy on the beach. With nothing. Is it sin to have money? No. It's sin to worship money. So he has a choice to make. And we find out
what he worships.
Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure where? In heaven." I'll never forget what I'm not going to mention his name, so you might be able to leave this in, Pastor. I'll never forget what my barrack commander said to me the day that I sat in his office and told him I was leaving 2 years early from the Maryland State Police. Because the retirement technically went to 22 years, and I was leaving at 20. So I'm sitting there in front of his desk, and I'm telling him that I am resigning from the Maryland State Police, and that I am going to be going to Tuktoyaktuk Northwest Territories as a missionary because that's where God wanted me. And he looked across that desk at me and he said, "Stanley, you're crazy." He said, "Do you know how much money you're giving up?" Did I give up any money to follow Christ to the Arctic? Because I know of two guys that are up there right now, and one of them's wife is now saved, that I believe were saved as a result of our ministry. I didn't give up anything from the Maryland State Police. Because it's in my account in heaven right now. Those two guys, if they're the only two, and there are some in Saskatchewan too in them prisons. I don't know how many. But just like the Bible says, it ain't never many. It's only a what? Few there be that find it. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Young people, follow the Lord. Honor your parents and follow the Lord. Got it? Especially those of you that have gone beyond the age of being a child. Children, obey your parents. Young people, honor your parents and follow God. You got it? You know who didn't want me to go to the mission field? The man I talked about right at the beginning of this message. And my dad was a born-again Christian, but he did not want me to go. I don't know why. We never talked about it. Maybe we should have.
But he knows why I went now, don't he? Don't he?
Follow me. Then comes verse 22 and the saddest word in the Bible. Why? It's a conjunction. It means it's going from positive to negative or negative to positive, one or the other. And we were just talking about a positive thing. Come follow me. And when it says but, that means what follows is not going to be good because we're going in another direction completely. It is a 180. It's a 180. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions.
He had great possessions. He went home with everything. But did he? See, there's the riddle. And the one who went home with nothing went home with everything. The man on the beach with nothing went home with everything because he followed Jesus. Did he get in the boat? No. He listened to what he told him and he went back and did what Jesus told him to do. And even though he went home with nothing but the rags on his back, he had everything. And the one who went home with everything, materialistically speaking, went home with nothing. Nothing. And we never hear in Scripture that he was ever saved. Sadly. You know what it says? in a companion passage in Mark 10, it says he went away grieved. Grieved. That's a strong word, isn't it? Y'all know grief? We've all known grief. We experience it when a loved one passes away.
Yet he experienced it over stinking things of this earth. And he missed it. One father got it, and one father didn't.
And they're both dads, because they both got families in that culture. And you don't have to research it very far to figure that out.
Because the guy with nothing went home with everything. And the guy with everything went home with nothing. Stand with your heads bowed.